Would you please stand and turn to 2 Kings chapter 1. This is a teaching session. The wonderful Spirit of God is in this place this morning. And there's an afterglow here from last night's ministering. In 2 Kings chapter 2 it is. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. The Bible says, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces." Everyone say two pieces. "He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, in verse 43 and verse 44, Jesus is speaking here. And in Luke 11, 43, Jesus says, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Everyone say hypocrites. "For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." I simply want to entitle this, "The Mantle, a Garment of Distinction." Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts? Would you pray that God will speak to your mind and your heart with revelation? Lord Jesus, this morning, we stand, O God, in your wonderful presence. Healings, deliverances took place here last night. The glory of God is without explanation that we have touched. There are no adjectives or adverbs that can adequately describe the places to which our souls have taken wing and our hearts have touched. Yet there's a reason for that. And that reason shall be defined here today by the mercy of God. Along with revelation, give us understanding. I'm asking this morning that you will help us to be honest in our hearts, above reproach as it were, totally transparent before you. Forgive us our sins and our transgressions. anoint us once again to hear and to understand, and the good grace of God to receive and to be obedient to the law of the Lord, which is perfect. We give you praise, O Master of the universe. Blessed be the name of Jesus forever. The Lord bless you. You may go down clapping. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Elisha requested a double portion of Elijah's spirit. Elisha rent his own clothes into two pieces. His own clothing became useless. He no longer at this point is covered. Now he takes up the mantle of Elijah, or Elijah's mantle. According to the Bible Almanac, the mantle was an outer garment which covered the whole body. It protected the wearer from the weather and was also used for sleeping. In the book of Exodus, chapter 22 and verse 26, the law of the Lord said this: if thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by the sun goeth down. In other words, if the sun goes down and the chill of the desert creeps over the land, give his garment back to him. The next verse says, for that is his covering only. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. The law of the Lord said that you could never take the mantle away from your neighbor, because he would have no bed clothing. The mantle was a garment of distinction. In 2 Kings chapter 1, after the death of Ahab, Moab rebelled against Israel. And at that time, Ahaziah was the king of Israel. Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his own upper chamber and injured himself and fell sick. Ahaziah sent messengers, his own messengers, to Ekron to inquire of Beelzebub as to whether or not he would live or die. And when the messengers of the king were en route to Ekron, the angel of the Lord came to Elijah and sent him to intercept the messengers. And Elijah intercepted those messengers. And he cried out. And he said, why is the king sending to Ekron to inquire of Beelzebub? Is there not a God in Israel that you can go to? And Elijah prophesied to the messengers of the king that the king would die upon his bed, not recovering. And at that point, the messengers turned back and they reported to the king what this man, whoever he was, had said. And when the king heard the message, the king said, what did this man look like? And the messengers described what this man looked like. And they said he was an hairy man. The literal translation here reads, a man with a garment of hair. He was describing the mantle of Elijah. How his mantle looked. How he was dressed. See how he was dressed. By this alone, the king knew from the description of his dress, his mantle, that it was Elijah the Tishbite that had done this thing. And he said so, substantiating that the mantle was indeed a mantle or covering of distinction. Elijah was known by his garment. Joseph had a coat of many colors. It was his mantle. His father made it for him. The same word used for coat is also used for mantle. That was Joseph's garment of distinction. They knew it was Joseph by his mantle. They could see him from a distance. Joseph's brothers took his mantle, his coat, and in so doing, they left him, in essence, naked. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Adam and Eve, without the coats that God made for them, there would be no atonement or covering. It was a garment of distinction. It was a separate garment. It was one piece. It covered the whole body, not like a shawl or an apron. God didn't give them aprons. He gave them coats that covered their entire bodies. Every Israelite had a mantle or outer garment. They slept in it. They used it for shade from the sun. They used it for protection from the elements. Without that outer garment, they did not survive. Every type in the Bible has an antitype. Every shadow has a fulfillment. The Holy Ghost cannot be the antitype of the mantle, because the Holy Ghost is intrinsic. That means it is inside. Whereas the mantle is extrinsic. That means outside. The type of the Holy Ghost in the Bible was the oil which was poured into, everyone say into the vessel. How can we translate all of this into our present day? In Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 4, the law of the Lord said, speaking of the priesthood, he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen garment, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are the holy garments. Say holy garments. Say it again. Say it again. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. What is the significance of linen? It is, according to Revelation 19:8, the righteousness of the saints. Linen was used for these holy garments of the priest. The Hebrew word for linen means divided fibers. There is a separation even in the fibers of the garment. The garment was used to separate the priest from the rest of the congregation. It was a garment of distinction. The priest had to wear this in the presence of God, in the holy places, or else he would be killed, slain by God. He had to wear them. Our garments of distinction today are as much outward and important as the inward abiding holy presence. Garments of holy distinction became or become our mantle of power. Your question, Elisha, was, where is the God of Elijah? The God of Elijah, Elisha, is in the mantle. It is in the covering. Snap it. Wear it. Wrap it about thee. Sleep in it. Ponder it. Hold it up for others to behold. Never lay it down. Never give it to another. Never leave it, nor discard it. For in the day that you do, Elisha, the God of Elijah will manifest himself no more to you. Jesus at Gadara had a God of distinction for the maniac. Elisha was to get a double portion. He tore his first garments into two parts. They were useless. He had to accept that second mantle, and that was where the Lord God of Elijah was. It was in that mantle. It was in that covering. Cain was firstborn. Abel was secondborn. Esau was firstborn. Jacob was secondborn. The second birth is always blessed by God. And when Jacob was dying, Joseph took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. He took him to took those sons of that old patriarch, and with Joseph's left hand, he pushed his firstborn toward that old man's right hand, where the birthright would be transferred. And in his right hand, he pushed Ephraim, his secondborn son, toward his father's left hand, so that the patriarchal blessing would be transferred to the firstborn. But Jacob moved his hands wittingly, and he crossed his right hand over his left and placed his hand upon the second birth. And in so doing, he made a cross. And the secondborn was blessed, and Joseph refuted it. And the old man said, no, the secondborn will be more mighty than the firstborn. Say, I have been born again, inward and outward. It's not the first set of clothing that is accepted, but the second mantle. That is where the power is. Elisha wanted a double portion. He had to get rid of his mantle or covering and take on the mantle of God. God has a mantle of his own making for his own children. And it is not the fashion nor the trend of the world. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10 heard the voice of Jesus. It was rumored in his presence, in his proximity, that the uproar in the crowd was because this Jesus was walking by. And Bartimaeus began to cry out at the concern of those around him who tried to stop him, but he would not be silenced. He cried the more, and in that tumultuous crowd and uproar, Jesus heard the voice of one crying to him. And the Bible says that Jesus stood still. I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus does not hear the cry of the crowds and all the background noise, but He will hear the voice of the individual that cries to Him personally. And the Bible says, quote, "And he," meaning Bartimaeus, "casting away his garment," he cast away his outer garment, he cast away his own mantle, he rose and came to Jesus. We will never see Jesus until we cast away our own filthy garments, our own mantle. It was then, after that, Bartimaeus could see Jesus. We have to cast away our identity, the identity of the world and its fashions, and only then, people, will we really see Jesus. Only then will we really see Jesus. Jesus upbraided the hypocrites. A hypocrite is someone who appears to be someone or something he is not. The Pharisees were hypocrites because they appeared to be holy when they were not holy. Jesus never upbraided them for their outward appearance, but he did upbraid them because their outward appearance did not, everyone say did not portray what they said they were on the inside. The publicans and sinners were never called hypocrites by Jesus because they appeared on the outside what they were on the inside. For those who say outward holiness doesn't matter and claim to be holy on the inside, they are equally as hypocritical as the scribes and Pharisees in a reverse way, because they appear to be what they say they are not. They say, "I am holy, I'm a child of God," yet they dress like the world and they appear like the world. They are hypocrites and do not know God. Jesus of Nazareth. There are only two types of people who are not hypocrites. Number one, those that are not holy on the outside and on the inside at the same time. Number two, those that are holy on the outside and on the inside at the same time. Anyone that is not totally one way or the other is a hypocrite, because they appear to be what they are not. That is why Jesus said, "I would that you were either hot or cold, but because you're just lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." God cannot stand hypocrites. He cannot stand hypocrisy. He cannot stand lukewarmness. People who leave our holiness, their big spiel is, "God looks at the heart, but man is what looks on the outside." People like that are fools. Don't they understand? Because man cannot see my heart, only God can. Therefore, I have to express on the outside what God has done on the inside. Otherwise, nobody is ever going to see it. If I were only doing this for God, I might not need it. But because I'm trying to reach the world, they must see it. And they're not going to see it unless we dress according to His dictates, unless we put on His mantle and not the mantle or the foolishness of this present world. Hear me this morning. Fashions and trends change about every other 3 or 4 months, but the law of God, which is perfect, abides forever, and His mantle of covering, His mantle of protection, does not alter.
So I wrap myself in it. I can snap it if I want to, but I will never let go of it, because the power of God is in that mantle. The power of God is in that mantle. It's in the covering. You know why we had a service like we had last night? For one thing, I'm gifted in the Spirit, and I know it. For another thing, I live a separated life unto God. You won't go to any meetings out there by any of the big name television personalities where you will ever feel what was in this place last night. It is not there. It is not there. It is not there. It is with the people who have a mantle of distinction that has been given by God Himself for a people who are called out, who are holy, who are righteous, who are separated from the world. I've lived in this for 31 years. I have never budged an inch. I never will budge an inch. And whether you can believe it or not, I'm under fire because of that. But let the fire rage. Greater is He that is within me than all the fire they can create. This God of mine will hear my cry, and He will be gracious unto me. I can tell you, Joseph's brethren took his coat, but before it was over, he had the prime minister's coat. And I don't care what they say about you, before this thing is over, we will have the garment of a transformed body. We shall be changed like unto His glorious body. We shall rise to meet Him in the clouds of glory. He's coming for a holy people. He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Jesus. 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 One of the reasons you people come to these meetings is because I make Jesus real to you. There is power in this place. There are power in these meetings. It's not because of me. It's because I got a hold of His set of laws and have the good sense to live them and to support them and to preach them. And God backs me for that. That's why we have what we have. It's because of holiness. It's because of separation. God does not play games. He is involved with separation. He is involved with holiness. He is involved with the coming out. He is involved with people who prayed, lay down the world for Him. Look around you this morning. Look at our people. You heard this voice sing. She's got one of the clearest, you mind standing? She's got one of the clearest voices, and she's anointed. But she does not have one smidgen of makeup on her face. And I dare say she has never cut her hair. That's why when she sings, you can feel something. You can feel something in the voices and the spirits of preachers who live it in their own homes, who live it behind the scenes. You can feel it. You know why you can respond to Jason Sisko? Is I know his life. He is a fanatic. He doesn't do this stuff just in your presence. He does this everywhere. In restaurants, he does it everywhere. I watched Sister Larson walk in this morning, an absolute lady. One of the most charming people you'll ever meet. Faces that shine with the glory of God. A light. A light. A light. They see. The power of God is in this separation. It's in the mantle. It's in our outward holiness. And the devil knows that. That's why there is such a fight in this hour. And that's why people are having all these thoughts. And the battle is the mind trying to decide, have we gone too far? Are we too, you know, aesthetic? Are we too carried away? Are we just out of step with the times? Do we need to become more modern? And the battle is raging. And the flesh loves it because the flesh wars against the spirit anyway. And anything the flesh can do to make itself a little more puffed up, a little more attractive, a little more worldly, a little more flirtatious, a little more sensual, it's going to do it. It's going to gravitate to it. It takes Holy Ghost, real Holy Ghost power, to keep you from yielding to the messes that are out there. But we've got it. We've got it. We've got it. And they can do what they want to out there, but it will not change us, Genevieve. It will not change us. It will not change us. You think I'm just talking? Let me tell you. When people walk in that live for God, you know what the chattering is and the whisperings are in a restaurant? Those are Pentecostals. You can tell by the way they're dressed. Those are Pentecostals. We know where they go to church and we know what they believe because you can tell by the way they dress. You can tell by their mantle of distinction. Our women are the most beautiful women in the world. Our men are the most handsome men in the world because they are clothed upon with a holiness and a light and a righteousness that does not need to be covered. Someone came to me last night and said, Brother Stone King, I just received the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, go look in the mirror. Your eyes shine like lights. And they left me smiling from ear to ear and headed straight for the mirror. I can see it in your face. I can see it in your faces. You were weeping and crying here last night, but there are lights in your eyes today because God has done something for your family. He did something for your family last night. He did something for you. If you turn and look into each other's faces, you can see the light and the glory of God. This young lady right here has had headaches all of her life, right? But last night they disappeared, and she's all right this morning. Power! Power! Two years ago in Madisonville, Kentucky, I preached an indoor camp meeting. I did it again this year for the seventh year straight. It's an annual affair every August. That indoor camp meeting has now grown to be bigger than the district camp meeting. They have no place to put people. They bust them in from everywhere. The power of God is rampant in that place. And 2 years ago, a woman came in a wheelchair. I did not feel to go lay hands on her and pray. I only do what I feel to do. So don't try to drag me all over the place. If I feel it, I'll do it. And if I feel it, it'll work. So I didn't go to her. I know there were people who thought that was probably strange. Here I am preaching all this health and healing and faith, and yet this woman's in a wheelchair and I don't go near her. But by Thursday night, faith was in that place. Oh, all kinds of things had happened. But Friday night, the people, faith was so powerful in that audience that the saints gathered around her in that wheelchair. Now this woman had surgery. She had now been in this wheelchair for over a year, and the doctors said she will be there for the rest of her life. She'll never walk again because they had taken bones out of both knees and out of her hip joints. So she was immobilized.
She was a Jewish woman. She had the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. But she now is immobilized, and the medical prognosis is that she will be there for the rest of her life. But there's a man called Jesus who is the great and glorious physician. And those saints, not me, but those saints, gathered around her and began to worship. And all of a sudden, 2 years ago this happened, I think I told you this before, but there's more to the story. You haven't heard the rest of the story, and that's what I want you to hear. She suddenly came to her feet out of the wheelchair. That caused no little stir around the people. But when she began to give it this, the people began to scream because her friends and relatives knew that the joints had been taken out and removed, and she couldn't do this. All of a sudden, the woman had her hands in the air. I didn't go near her. I was just in the pulpit watching this. That's why I keep trying to get you involved. This happened at the hands of believers. Not some man of the cloth, but in the hands of believers. If you ever wake up to what you have a hold of and ever become obedient and get with the program, you will tear this city to pieces because you've got it. You've got it. So, not only did she stand, but she began to walk. And God is miraculous. The people that were kneeling in the altar was jammed with people. They somehow had this sense or this feeling, and they began to move out of the way. They didn't even open their eyes. I watched. They just sort of scooted out of the way. They opened a highway for this woman to walk through. And she walked all the way across the front of the church while people were cheering and worshiping. Children had never seen miracles before. Teenagers were standing crying. Preachers were on top of pews waving their hands. She turned around. She walked back across. And the highway was made open for her. The people were jammed in there. The wheelchair, they tried to move it, and they couldn't. It was too heavy. So a man came climbing out of the audience, and he collapsed the wheelchair. He lifted it above his head and passed it to another man. And he passed it to another man. And the wheelchair went over the heads of the people out the back door while the ex-victim was walking back and forth across the front of the auditorium. That is power! Power! Apostolic Elijah, mantle power! It's not a drug, it's not a knife, it's not medication, it's the touch of the hand of the Lord, whose name is Jesus! At the end of that service, she walked across the parking lot, down a long flight of stairs into the fellowship center, and walked from table to table where everyone was eating and fellowship. And I don't mind telling you, every table she stopped at had another little church service there for a few minutes. But when she was back in the church walking, there was a woman who took her crippled child up on the platform to behold this miracle. The child had steel braces from the waist down to the ankles. Shoes that were tried, they tried to make them attractive, but they were still ugly. They were just covered with these braces. And all of a sudden, the child, the mother was so carried away worshiping and thanking God and praising Him. The child sat down and began to loose the straps on these braces that went from the hips to the feet, the shoes. One, this ankle was twisted around and this leg was shorter than the other one. And the mother felt this movement. They have a sixth sense, you know. And she looked down and saw this child taking these braces off. And she screamed out, "Stop, honey. You can't do that." The child looked up and said, "Yes, I can. Jesus just healed me." The mother looked down and saw that the leg had dropped down and the ankle had straightened. And the mother screamed and grabbed the child and lifted her up, while two naked little legs hung straight down. And the mother began to dance like this and worship God. When they put the child on the ground or on the floor of the church, the child took off running because she'd never been able to run. She's 5 or 6 years of age now. She began to run. She climbed over pews. Nobody stopped her. Everybody just made a way for her. The child was just running and climbing and leaping for joy. Because there is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel. There is a God in Israel who is powerful. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Many people were healed. Many people were delivered in that service. But here's the rest of the story. This year, this past year, 1994, August, I was there again. On about Wednesday, after the Freemans had taught in the morning, we all went out to a countryside restaurant where they had a buffet. I was in line filling my plate. And all of a sudden, this teenage boy had spotted me from the dining room where he was already seated eating. He came running to me and said, "Brother Stonking, Brother Stonking." And I turned and recognized him. He said, "Do you remember 2 years ago, the woman who got out of the wheelchair?" I said, "The Jewish lady." He said, "Yes." He said, "She's my mother." I said, "Then you're Jewish." He said, "Yes." I said, "Revelation." He said, "Did you ever find out what happened?" I said, "No." He said, "I want to tell you this. My mother went back to the doctor. And when she walked in, he nearly fainted." She told him that she'd been healed. They took a whole new set of x-rays. Left her seated in the waiting room. The doctor came out with his assistant and they said to her, "Who did this bone transplant surgery?" She said, "I didn't have bone transplant surgery." He said, "Yes, you did. And there are no scars." And he said, "Wherever the bone has been replaced, it shows up snow white on the x-ray." This one is documented. For all the scoffers and mockers, this one is documented. That kind of power, I would not lay that down for any tube of lipstick, any jewelry on the market, any clothes. I wouldn't lay that down for any trend, any fashion, any family member, any friend. I would not lay that down for any. Because that kind of power is only connected with separation. It is not in sloppy agape, liberalism. It is, as it was of old, the people who separate themselves to God are unique, powerful, strange, different, holy, 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 holy. And on that day they will cry to him, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." There are people right here this morning that are willing to trade anything for what I'm talking about right here. There are some people here that are willing to trade anything for that mantle, for that kind of power. If you're willing,
feet.
Let your voice out. Let your voice out. Don't be afraid. Spirit of the Lord is here to collect your praises, to lift up your worship. Hallelujah! On the Lohara Karahashata, Futakalahashata Rasha. Power, power, the power of God in the name of Jesus. God, help us to wrap ourselves in this mantle of holiness. Help us to hold it up for others to see. Help us to snap it. Let the miraculous take place among us. Let something be born here in this conference, in this church, that will transform our movement, that will transform this area. God of Elijah, God of Elijah, God of Elijah, hearken to our cry in the name of Jesus. Jesus, hear the cry of your people. Hear the cry of your people. Hear the intercessory prayer. Hear the groaning. See the weeping. Listen to the clapping. Watch the dancing. Jesus of Nazareth, O God, when you come, you will find a people. You will find faith in the earth. You will find it. Blessed, blessed be the Lord who is gracious. Blessed be the Lord who is gracious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You took my sins away. You took my old garments. You took my filthy rags. And you have covered me with a garment of power. I feel the strangest thing right now. I don't know if I've ever felt this before, but I can hear the Spirit saying to me to tell you to walk toward Him. If it's only one step, do it.
Keep walking. Keep walking. Hallelujah! I will lift my voice to the Lord. I will seek His face, but He may be found. That's it. That's it. That's it. Lift your hands and receive the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and receive the Spirit of the Lord. Lift your hands. Feel His touch. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. That's it. That's it. Jesus. 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 Return unto me, saith the Lord. Return unto me. You can feel that in the spirit in this sanctuary this morning. You can hear the voice of the Lord beckoning people, pulling, wooing people to return to Him. To return to Him. To return to Him. I will return. I will return.
sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to me. to thee.
In the house of the Lord.